Oh man, I don't even know how to sum this one up. Ja Rule's an idiot, R. Kelly does another bad thing, and Ryan Adams decides he wants to join R. Kelly in that fire pit. India says music app TikTok is making teenagers stupid, and Spotify decides to buy another podcasting platform, but the price is bananas. I'm Matt the Kid, and this is the Music Bench Podcast. And we're back with episode 25 of the Music Bench Podcast, and what an interesting time for music news it is. I can't say it's the happiest of weeks, but we were definitely throwing some serious curveballs, weren't we? I mean, there's tons of stuff. Ryan Adams, Ja Rule, it's so crazy. But I am super excited to announce a few updates. First of all, we have tons of new content coming this week, as we do every single week. Also, there is a comment box being added to the podcast page of musicmench.com. If you have a second and want to leave a comment on the show, whether it be compliments, questions, you know, polite commentary, or extreme ridicule for my lack of whimsy, I'd be happy to hear it all. But without wasting any more time, let's get into the news for this week. So everybody's kind of wondering, because of all the Fyre Festival scandals that have occurred, you know, Billy McFarlane is obviously taking a lot of the blunt end of what is happening, but Ja Rule is kind of floating somewhere in the ether, and nobody really understands where his place is in all this, but it seems as though Ja Rule can't even escape his own hype, as new word has been released of the rapper wanting to start a new music festival. What? I don't believe I know a single person who has gone on Netflix within the past month and not seen the documentary Fyre, which reveals the chilling and upsetting details of the failed Fyre Festival, brought to us by entrepreneur Billy McFarlane and rapper Ja Rule. We also have two previous episodes that talk about the detail. Check out episode 20 entitled We Need a Firefighter. I'm sorry, I couldn't help but get involved in the stupid puns. Everybody was doing it, and I felt the peer pressure like an angry monkey on my back. If you haven't seen the documentary, go watch it and see for yourself why even Blink 182 couldn't handle the liberating mayhem of the festival. Billy McFarlane was the owner and CEO of two other companies, but quickly became primo laughingstock and world-class asshole when it was revealed that most of the festival's funding came from McFarlane's ability to deliver fraudulent claims to investors in order to swindle more money out of them to stay afloat. This whole fiasco was such an intense scam that the FBI was forced to get involved. Currently, both him and Ja Rule are facing several multi-million dollar lawsuits, which included a $100 million lawsuit in California. Ja Rule claims he has not yet seen the documentaries, but may watch them in the future. You know, if he has time, who knows? He's got a lot of businesses to burn to the ground, folks. Just stay out of his way. He'll get to it. Of course, he was the victim of savage memes and lots of ridicule, but some of it was arguably deserved after such a large disaster, which endangered the lives of over 4,000 people. He has said multiple times that he is not to blame for any of the problems that occurred, despite the fact that he was listed as a co-founder, and now it is clear that he has not learned from his own actions and plans to continue forward with a similar idea. In fact, much too similar of an idea. Billy McFarlane's company Fyre Media was working on developing an app which would allow the average Joe to hire big-time musicians for their events through a secure channel. Ja Rule is essentially stealing that idea to create his own app called Icon. According to a Billboard article on this topic, Ja Rule commented, "In the midst of chaos, there's opportunity, so I'm working on a lot of new things. I got my new platform, Icon. It is kind of similar to what the app was, but you got to understand the app was separate from the festival." I think it is extremely safe to say that nobody in any regard has any hopes that Ja Rule will create anything of substance, and that we are to expect either nothing at all or a failed venture due to the disbelief in the man behind it. I think it's also safe to say that you probably shouldn't be involved in such a risky and high-priced business venture while you are going through lawsuits that have yet to be settled. I get that these cases may either be dropped or Ja Rule can take the hit, maybe, but Ja Rule's net worth is just $8 million. It's not like he's Jeff Bezos, you know? So if he is slapped with a deadly fine, he will be in some serious trouble with his new ideas, not to mention his label, his manager, his producers, whatever. More details on that as they arise. Of course, there will be some crazy antics with that. People are so much fun, aren't they? The music business is just so interesting all the time. And speaking of which, this is much less interesting as it is annoying, but we get new news to talk about with R. Kelly. New stuff. Boy, R. Kelly, what are we going to do with you, man? Do you just think that the world is going to burn at your feet? Like, there's no possible way that you can be taken down. I suppose it's entirely possible. He's gone this long, and fame is a powerful thing. But it's very clear that there's no sign of stopping. R. Kelly might face rape charges after the discovery of a 45-minute video with an underage girl reported to be 14. Oh, you mean the P-tape one that was handed over to police and stowed away as already extremely solid evidence and that Dave Chappelle parodied? No, not that one. The new one. Yeah, there's a new one. And it seems as though this could be the final nail in the coffin that indicts R. Kelly on felony charges and puts him behind bars. Once the tape was handed to Chicago police, there was a secret grand jury that convened over the matter, allegedly. According to an article by The Insider, CNN has verified the existence and validation of the tape, while both R. Kelly and the teen in question have verified their identities on the tape. These charges were brought to the court by American attorney Michael Avenatti, although R. Kelly's attorney Steve Greenberg says that both he and his client are unaware of any new information about the singer, saying, quote, "There is no record of any such proceedings and no need for them. The report is false." So R. Kelly obviously had an extensive track record with the law, and some of it insanely disturbing, including an incident in 2002 where he was indicted on 21 counts of filming, producing, and engaging in child pornography. It took more than half a decade for him to go to trial on that, and many of the charges were dropped due to things like improper seizure of the tapes in question. It was basically bullshit. If you go back and look at that case, they got it on a loophole. I mean, he got out of that stuff on a loophole. It was very clear that he was involved in child pornography, so it's astonishing that this guy's kept his career up. Now, we all knew that R. Kelly was a piece of human garbage. That's not a stretch considering how much this guy should have gone to jail for already, right? So we'll see updates with that. However, it seems as though there is a new contender in the ring, and he apparently has an equally disturbing past. American singer-songwriter Ryan Adams was put in the spotlight for all of the wrong reasons with a New York Times article that claims he has been sexually abusing women for nearly two decades, using fame and the ability to boost their career as his bargaining chip. After this commentary was released, an FBI investigation was launched in order to investigate the most disturbing account, which allegedly occurred back in 2003. In this account, Adams, then 39, was involved in a text conversation with a girl named Ava, who at the time was a 14-year-old bass player and a fan of Adams. According to the report, they had exchanged 3,217 text messages over the time they had spoke, and one Skype call took place in which Adams allegedly exposed himself to the girl. Adams' lawyer had apparently denied that his client had any knowledge of these things taking place, saying, "Mr. Adams unequivocally denies that he ever engaged in inappropriate online sexual communications with someone he knew was underage." But of course, if you play with fire, you get burned. The singer's ex-wife and successful female artist Mandy Moore decided to enter the controversy just hours after the New York Times article was released. Moore has had several albums between 1999 and 2009, but then suddenly stopped. She claims that this was partly due to Adams' behavior, and she also said in a New York Times interview that music was a point of control for Adams and that he would similarly dangle success over her head. Not only did he tell her multiple times that she wasn't a real musician because she didn't play an instrument, but he would also discourage her from working with other producers and musicians. When it came time to work on her seventh studio album, she revealed that she was working on it with Adams, who was her husband at the time, but once the divorce happened due to irreconcilable differences, as she put it, it was later brought to light that the reason was mostly due to the hostile relationship, saying, quote, "His controlling behavior essentially did block my ability to make new connections in the industry during a very pivotal and potentially lucrative time, my entire mid to late 20s. She also said that Adams would book them studio time to record, but then replaced her with different female artists, constantly pushing her work to the back burner. Since the investigation, seven women have come forward to confirm the accounts. The most recent comments have been from Phoebe Bridgers, who came forward shortly after Mandy Moore had submitted her statement. On February 16th, Bridgers released an Instagram post with more commentary on the Ryan Adams investigation and her personal relationship with the case, saying, quote, "It's been a weird week, and I wanted to say a couple of things. Thank you from my whole f***ing heart to my friends, my bands, my mom. They all supported and validated me. They told me that what had happened was fucked up and wrong, and that I was right to feel weird about it. I couldn't have done this without them. Ryan had a network too. Friends, bands, people he worked with, none of them held him accountable. They told him by what they said or by what they didn't that he was doing okay. They validated him. He couldn't have done this without them. Guys, if your friend is acting fucked up, call them out. If they're actually your friend, they'll listen. That's the way this all gets better." So that was the entirety of her post. You can check it out on Instagram. Adams' newest incoming album entitled Big Colors, which was originally due in April, had been shelved by UMG in light of the accusations, and other companies have followed suit. Walrus Audio has discontinued the sale of Defcon 4 pedal with Adams' name on it, and JHS Pedals has also halted the sales of their VCR Ryan Adams signature pedal. The FBI continues to investigate the account of sexual allegations with then underage artist Ava, who, for very good reasons, is being left anonymous at the time. I'm sure we will be hearing about new updates within the coming weeks. Now that is already a lot of stuff to digest, so before we get into any more music news, I want to encourage you to follow your dreams because you're not a predatorial scumbag and I believe you have the ability to make a career for yourself in this business. But that being said, it's difficult to maintain the schedule of a musician without feeling under the weather or fatigued at times. And while I don't have the power to grant you tons of coupons for Pepto-Bismol, I can grant you the power of good vocal health through our wonderful sponsor. Take the time to breathe better and sing easier with Vocal Mist. The latest research shows that using a nebulizer with isotonic saline instead of a boring old humidifier actually reduces something called phonation threshold pressure, meaning it will relax the tension on your vocal folds and make it easier to produce sound, whereas a humidifier will just clear your sinuses and not do much else. Vocal Mist has easy-to-use features, it's extremely portable, and it has USB charging capabilities unlike your extremely heavy at-home nebulizer, so you can keep your voice feeling excellent anywhere and anytime you need it. The product comes with both a slip-on mask and an intraoral nebulizer mouthpiece, so you can try both and see what feels comfortable for you. My listeners get a special offer. When you go onto myvocalmist.com and enter the promo code MENCH, that's M-E-N-S-C-H, you will get $10 off any select Vocal Mist bundle package. Again, that's myvocalmist.com, promo code MENCH, to get $10 off your Vocal Mist bundle package. With its 5-star rating and science-based technology, this portable nebulizer will end your struggles with seasonal allergies and vocal strain. MyVocalMist.com, promo code MENCH. Use that promo code to let them know that the MENCH sent you. We're all about saving you some money here, so go make that happen. All right, now, it's clear that there are new lands being discovered in social media territory almost daily, but we can also see an evolution that has kind of patterned itself throughout our history. First, we had text sharing with Facebook, that was huge. Then image sharing with Instagram, which was, you know, equally big, arguably bigger, you know, and it had videos, but it didn't have many features on those videos. Suddenly, Snapchat broke through like an eagle through the clouds with its short video sharing platform, and it came with a lot more features, everything like that, different video features that hadn't been seen in anything before. And now we see the new trend of music enhanced video, although the latest tool has some folks worried, and possibly for a good reason and also for a terrifying reason in terms of the app. For anyone who does not keep up with the latest apps in the digital age, there's a new one that was created by Chinese company ByteDance on September 26 called TikTok. TikTok merged with social media service Musical.ly on August 2, 2018, and has since targeted and won the attention of the US teenage market. Everybody uses it. It's crazy. Every single teen that I personally know, whether it be a friend of my sister's or, you know, whoever, they have this app. The main social draw for this app is the ability to create and share short-length videos accompanied by audio, special effects, and tons of graphic options. The most refreshing of these features is its extensive video library, which can be used to layer popular songs onto your work and basically do whatever you please with it. It's essentially like Snapchat on steroids, and people are really, really digging it, but lawmakers are very much not appreciating what the app appears to be doing to the youth of the world. And the app has been gaining a massive amount of subscribers in India, but those in the government, with the main spotlight being on Tamil Nadu, have called for a ban on the app through the Central Legislative Assembly, claiming that it is adding to the cultural degradation. As everyone knows, the teenage population of the world finds these apps hopelessly addicting and trendy, using them for communication with friends, entertainment, news updates, and surfing the content to pass the time, however you may use it. But TikTok has become a database of abuse where some have witnessed controversial content, including anti-Semitic comments and cyberbullying on an overwhelming level. According to several articles, there are teens who are pretending to commit suicide in their videos, and on one account, a man from Chennai who wore women's clothes and posted his music videos on that app committed suicide by jumping in front of a train after severe bullying and harassment on there. Since all of this has come to light, Byte Media is now working with Indian lawmakers to rectify that problem. And you might be asking yourself, you know, well, obviously this is a horrendous thing. Nobody should be doing this, but why is this so much TikTok's problem to be dealt with? You know what I mean? This seems much more like a problem with the culture and the, you know, how people react to these types of things. Because if it's a problem for TikTok, then it's a problem for Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, even MySpace, because MySpace is still around. Hell, basically any app that can be used for this kind of thing would be able to be, you know, put on the fire. But the problem is you're really talking about something different. Now, in reality, the reason that Byte Media was so quick on the draw in reacting to this is because India is said to be around 40% of their user base. I mean, if you check out YouTube videos of TikTok, a lot of the user base is Indian, and a lot of them have huge accounts with tons of followers, and they're doing quite well. In fact, they accounted for 24.5 million daily active users in the country, which makes it the largest market basically outside of China. They're required to hire a chief nodal officer that will monitor content in compliance with the nudist modifications. In an article by The Verge, which I will post on the website, a TikTok representative commented on the news saying, quote, "We have robust measures to protect users against misuse, including easy reporting mechanisms that enable users and law enforcement to report content that violates our terms of use and community guidelines." Now, this seems to be something that reappears with the launch of the larger social media platforms. In terms of the number, I can't really attest to that, but it would be inaccurate to say again that the subject hasn't been brought up before, and it's exactly the same whether it be video games, social media, or TV. Rather than blame those that are inciting poor actions or spewing hateful comments, they would rather blame the medium through which they decide to spread their judgment, which to me doesn't seem fair. I think to a lot of you doesn't seem fair. And it's also something that has come up, believe it or not, it's come up a lot too in the community of the folks that talk about school shootings, anything like that. You know, I think a lot of people are saying, well, the real thing we should be looking at is the parents and talking to them about whether or not they actually understand their child. That's one of the things that Marilyn Manson brought up in an interview, because he was actually blamed for one of the school shootings. And he said, there is no possible way I can be blamed for this just because one of those kids was wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. It had to be the fact that the parents just weren't listening. And it's a valid argument, you know what I mean? So that is something that has to be taken into consideration with all these types of cases. The difference here is that TikTok very much relies on this customer base. And that's not to say that they don't care about their users. They very much do. I'm sure they care about the health of every commenter, every person who posts, everybody with an account. They want everything to be equal and fair, and they don't want anybody spreading hatred. But again, it seems unfair to blame the app for this problem, and India seems to be doing just that thing. Despite TikTok's efforts to comply with the laws and demands of the central government, they are still deeming the app and many of the app's abilities and actions unethical in nature. And that makes me wonder, what exactly is unethical about it? If it's the music, they're barking up the wrong tree there. I mean, you got a whole other industry to deal with there. So, and I don't really understand what the harm is with visual effects or graphics. I don't understand what harm that would have on a person unless you're epileptic, unless you can't use the app, you know what I mean? Unless there's no warnings before it, but I believe there are. Otherwise, that company would get sued and that would be a stupid move. So I don't know. I would think it's the actual content that's posted, which is obviously more of a problem with the people on the app. If anyone can shed any other light on this, please comment and share your thoughts about it. I'd love to hear them. Now, one of the most alarming technological advances to make it into the content to me is deepfake material, which is essentially artificial intelligence that has the ability to superimpose faces and voices into videos so well that it is almost impossible to tell them apart from real videos. And this is genuinely a thing that we're seeing in the news right now. An example would be if someone made a video of a politician spouting some crazy ideas, they could superimpose the face on a proportionate body, record the audio themselves, and then use very fresh voice-enhancing technology to recreate the victim's voice down to the letter, which is terrifying. It is also worth noting that this is not the first time Musical.ly has dealt with these types of problems. There is a parents article that I will post on the website that discusses a disturbing case in which a police officer's daughter is targeted by predators on the app. And instead of just hearing about the conversation, you can actually see the screenshots of the text on the article, which is just downright creepy, but it's really interesting, so go check that out. But the current problems have obviously transformed as a new issue and require different actions to be taken. As TikTok continues to work with Indian lawmakers, the number of subscribers continues to grow, but regulations will hopefully get better, and they will get a good hold on some of the bad content or some of the poorer members on the app. So we will see everything that unfolds there. Again, I don't think TikTok should be put under fire for this. I think it's genuinely just a problem. Although I think it is good that we are having the discussion with the platforms and that we are trying to eliminate a lot of this by having officers in place that are looking to take down some of that content. I think that's really great stuff. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as they can spend the money to do it. Now, in recent territory, let's talk financials in the business world, okay? Our last subject for today will deal heavily within the music industry realm. We're going to talk about Spotify's new podcasting territory. Following a company announcement on February 6th, Spotify purchased not just one, but two. Count them, two. Podcasting companies, sorry, I sounded like Bernie Sanders right there. That was weird. They bought two podcasting companies, Gimlet and Anchor. CEO Daniel Ek has claimed it to be a safe assumption that more than 20% of Spotify's listening data will be non-music material over time. According to a Music Business Worldwide post, Ek had also commented, quote, "To really understand our motivation for spending on podcasts, take the current value of the video industry. Consumers spend roughly the same amount of time on video as they do on audio. Video is about a $1 trillion market, and the music and radio industry is worth about $100 billion. I always come back to the same question. Are our eyes really worth 10 times more than our ears? I firmly believe this is not the case." Guy definitely knows how to sell something. This entire venture was also aided by Spotify CFO and ex-Netflix CFO Barry McCarthy, who is said to be extremely excited about the new acquisitions. Spotify's abilities are not a surprise after they had reached 98 million premium subscribers for their quarter four 2018 report, not to mention the growth in audio for North America at over 40%. So they are doing wonderful. Then how much did these new acquisitions cost exactly? Well, A 20F SEC filing was posted on February 12th, and according to Recode, Spotify paid $110 million for Anchor and $228 million for Gimlet, making the end total damn near $340 million. Woo! Can you afford that? I can't afford that. This was said to be mostly paid in cash. The company had also made the statement during its filing that it had plans to spend around $400 to $500 million on new acquisitions in the entirety of 2019, which will most likely be podcast-related ventures. They also project to hit somewhere between 20 and 30 million subscribers by the end of the year, and a launch in India is underway, though it has been put on delay as music labels are making it difficult to obtain the appropriate licensing. What do you do in music labels? Let it go. Just let them do their thing. The only precautions come from Spotify's own filings, in which they note, quote, "We cannot assure you that the growth in revenue we have experienced over the past few years will continue at the same rate or even continue to grow at all. We expect that in the future, our revenue growth rate may decline because of a variety of factors, including increased competition and the maturation of our business." Now, this is most likely true, and it has been noted by multiple companies that growth in 2019 is going to be largely based on these companies' ability to expand into new territories. North America is obviously the cash cow, but it has quickly become drained of ability for aggressive expansion. Obviously, I mean, these platforms are huge already, hence Spotify's adamant decision to break into India. But as things continue, we will get more updates and more news on that. It is all super interesting the way it's going, but I will be curious to see how everything unfolds with that. But if you have any comments or questions on the Spotify stuff, or really any of this, whether it be Ja Rule's Icon app, R. Kelly, TikTok, then please hit me up with a comment. That'd be great. Either way, that is all the news we have for you so far this week, and be sure to catch that second episode on Friday. Thank you so much for listening today. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much everywhere except SoundCloud. Leave a comment or a rating. I would greatly appreciate it. You can also subscribe to the email at musicmensch.com. It's right on the main page, so it'll just pop up and say, yo, get my three essential music tools PDF downloads. It's absolutely free. All you got to do is subscribe. And we got plenty of great new updates coming out. Check out the blog posts and videos as they become available. Some of them are on these topics on the podcast, and then some of them are newer topics that we haven't covered yet, and they will all be available very soon, I promise you. Thanks again, and we will see you next time.